1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to think with you a little bit about the day of Christ, our future. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and at verse 4, it says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by or in Christ Jesus, that in everything you are enriched by him or in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, there's quite a number of references to the day of Christ, and probably there won't be time to look at them all. There's a number in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. There's another reference relating directly to the judgment seat of Christ experience. And there it says in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by or in fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. There's another reference in chapter 5 in relation to the discipline of the sinning brother. And it mentions there in verse 5 that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, maybe we could turn over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, there are three references using this expression in the Philippian epistle. And the first one is in chapter 1 and verse 6, where he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it or perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment or discernment, that you may approve or discerningly approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now over in chapter 2, from verse 12 down, there's an interesting section. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now I'm going to just go over to 1 John chapter 3 for some connected thoughts. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we, that is, we are already the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear or be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope on him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Now, I've been thinking quite a bit recently about the day of Christ and the judgment seat of Christ and so on. There are related expressions, the day of Christ, the day of the Lord, and the day of God. And there is some overlap in some of the thinking or teaching about these three expressions. But the day of Christ directs us towards our meeting with the Lord. In some sense, it is more personal concerning our relationship with the Lord himself. It focuses upon the heavenly aspect as there is preparation being made for his kingdom. Now, what we've been listening to this afternoon emphasizes the reality of relationship. Now, I know that not everyone gets married. And even listening to what we have heard may cause you distress. What I want you to think about, and this is for all of us, is that we are in an eternal relationship that will be totally satisfying, totally fulfilling, to our utmost blessing forever and ever. The best that we can ever experience here on earth is at best a reflection of this perfect relationship. Every one of us who are saved are moving forward to a day that is called His Day. I'm sure those who get married, before they are married, they so greatly anticipate the day when the marriage takes place. But I want you to think about this in this context, this parallel. We are being prepared for the day. Now, it is not just a specific 24-hour period. It is really an era that is going to supersede, take over anything that we've ever known here upon earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I was kind of struck by that, just reading it just the other day, because you know what Corinth was like. You know the problems among the Christians at Corinth. And yet, as Paul graciously introduces his first letter, where there was so much correction, so much reproof of their failure, he says, God is faithful. And he has called you to the fellowship of his Son. What does it say? Jesus Christ, our Lord. And let me give you another analogy of relationship. Our oldest son is married. And we love our daughter-in-law. Many things that we love about her. But we made a choice to love her because she was his choice. And our relationship to her is involved in our relationship to our son. I want you to think about the intimacy, the interest that God has in you today because you are connected to his son. It is God who has called you. It is God who has chosen you. And you notice what it says here. You have been confirmed. He's going to confirm you right to the end. And I really love this expression, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have spent a fair bit of time over the years studying and thinking about the judgment seat of Christ. There are aspects of it that are extremely sobering, which I'm afraid in some ways we have been blind to. It is a time of revelation. It is a time of manifestation. A very sobering time. But it is in preparation for a moment when we are going to be presented with Christ blameless. the outcome of our meeting with our Lord Jesus is that we are going to be prepared to be his companions. And there's going to be a perfection. He is not going to be looking back and regretting his choice. And we certainly aren't either. But what I'm particularly interested in trying to get across is this. God himself has set his heart upon us in preparation for our participation in his day, the day of Christ. And I see this again, especially in Philippians chapter 1. And I do appreciate that God loves me as his child. He has a deep interest in me personally. But what I find even better here in this passage in Philippians chapter 1 is this. Verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, he's going to perfect it unto the day of Christ. What this says to me is this, that God's deep interest in me has a higher motivation than just his personal love to me. It is that I might be to the glory of his Son. And there's a wonderful security in that, as well as a reason for us to have an incentive to respond to what God is doing in us. God has begun a work that is eternal. This is even greater than the creation of the universe. He's going to dispense with the present creation and bring in a new creation. We are already part of the new creation. What has begun in you from the moment you were saved is a work that is eternal. There is no reversing of it. The new birth is irreversible. His call is irrevocable. He has begun a work that will not end until it consummates in the day of Christ, when we are brought into his presence and with him manifested in the beauty of the perfection of his workmanship through salvation. Now it says here in verse 9 to verse 11, here is where our cooperation with him is so essential. There has been an emphasis this afternoon upon love. The Bible reading touched on the corruption of love, the distortion of love, the destruction of love. That's what's going on in the culture that we are in. But here his prayer is that your love may develop, may flourish, may abound. And you know, even though the world thinks that being good is boring, and pursuing sin is exciting, the reality is the opposite. After a while, it's just the same sin. It's just the same old thing, with the same dead-end dissatisfaction, disillusionment, destructiveness. I could look at any life where sin has ruled and it just becomes the same old thing again and again and again. But show me a Christian who is developing in their Christian life and there's a beauty that is progressive. You can admire. It's attractive. It's worthwhile. It's not just more of the same. there's a beauty that is progressing towards that wonder of the expression of God himself. And so his desire is that our love would develop, because love is the essence of spiritual life. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. There is a beautiful development that is implied here. And this is what I would like you to understand. His work, by virtue of the cross, will bring us to that day with a perfect absence of evil, blameless. But the development of fruitfulness demands my cooperation. Yes, we are going to be sinless in that day. But the more that you and I have cooperated with him in his grace in our lives, the more he will be able to reward us and honor us in his presence. And there will be a fullness that corresponds to what he is in himself. And that is why I read in chapter 2 a few of these verses. Because you notice here, what we have in verse 12 down is that, again, you have the emphasis in verse 13. It is God. It is God who is working in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And the reason I connected this with 1 John chapter 3 is simply this. If we are going to succeed, if we are going to make progress, it is going to be in living out from the relationship that we are brought into. It's the same thing as in marriage. If you want your marriage to flourish, you honor the relationship. You set that relationship as a priority. You treasure the other, and then it flourishes. Because everything else in life becomes controlled by the relationship. And this is what I see here. Because we are emphasized here in verse 15 in a relationship, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Now, I noticed, again, just recently in looking at this, there's a number of times in the King James Version Bible that it's translated children when it's really sons. But both here and in 1 John chapter 3, where it's translated sons, it's actually the word children. Now, you might normally expect it to be sons here, but what I want you to see the emphasis of here is my relationship with my Father. That you may be blameless and harmless, the children of God. The children of God. I've come to appreciate a little bit more the wonder that God is my Father. And as I think of myself as being born again, born of God, from his standpoint, he has begotten me. What does that mean? Well, that means that he has brought forth a life that he will honor as being his production. It is of himself. We look at the Lord Jesus Christ and we recognize he is of the Father. He is of God. And all that God is in his blessedness is truly manifested in his Son. And God's workmanship in us is of this high order of being. He has brought us forth that we would be a new creation. And so you actually share his very nature of holiness, of righteousness. That's Ephesians chapter 4. You are not of this world. And you can't make yourself part of this world anymore. You'll only be miserable if you attempt to live as the world is. Because you have been created anew. You are born of God. So you are now in a parallel relationship. The Lord Jesus, when he was here, he was the light of God. And he was communicating the life of God. This is what we have here. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. You and I now are actually in a parallel relationship, born of God, possessing his spirit, shining, radiating a life that is from God, and growing into that likeness. And so we have a responsibility to those around us who are in the dark and who are perishing. That should define my relationship with all other people, all unsaved people, that they are in darkness, they are perishing. That's how I must relate to them in my care and interest. But he says that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. You see, there is a day coming when this is all going to be on display and manifested. As we come to 1 John chapter 3, the apostle there is worshiping God. He is in awe of the wonder, of the amazing love that the Father has bestowed on us. And I've just come to enjoy this more and more in my own spirit, to recognize the love of my Father that has so blessed me that I am already a child of God. We are now the children of God. That's what it says. And it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. It is beyond what is yet knowable. But there is this that we have to go by, that when our Lord Jesus is manifested, we are going to be like him. Where does that bring us? Everyone who has this hope set on him purifies himself. That's my challenge. That's your challenge. Even as he is pure. May God bless you and enable you.